إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we have intended to begin a new book for study. And as it is our norm, yani before we read from the book, we like to take yani a little time out to discuss the author of the book, yani the source. And most of us have heard probably, or at least yani even it's logical, that from the people of Sunnah, it is our manhaj that we don't take knowledge from any and everyone, but rather we are careful who we take knowledge from, because this knowledge is what? It's our deen. And the people of Sunnah, they said, if the knowledge is deen, then everyone must look carefully to whom he's taking his deen from. So normally we talk a little bit about the author of the book that we're going to study, and that's almost, yani, that's going to be very difficult tonight, but inshallah, yani, we have summarized as much as we could until we got it to something reasonable that we can share tonight concerning the author of our book. And we're going to also talk a little bit, yani, about the book itself before we actually begin reading. Let me just say though, that those of you who we have your email, we have already sent to you the PDF file. Thanks to Brother Salahuddin, who sent me a copy of the PDF file for the English translation of this book. And we have sent that to those who are on our email list. If we don't have your email and you would like to receive the notes that we may be providing or the study guides in advance, then print clearly your email. Don't assume that we know that if you write an A like a B, that we know that that's supposed to be an A. Wallahi, some of the people's emails, the way they write them, drives me crazy. I try 15 different combinations and I can't get it. I don't know what it is. I can't read them. So, please, if you want us to send you the emails, then write your email clearly. Please print it clearly. We also sent, for those who want to follow in Arabic, this is a copy of the book in Arabic, the text of the book, just the bare text of the book. And we also sent an explanation. And there are many explanations of this book, and the one that we're going to try to take from, not yani word for word, but as much as possible, is the explanation of our Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, Hafidhahumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. And there are a lot of good explanations of this book. Almost all of the major scholars, yani of past and present since the time of this book, they have explained it, they have taught it. And it is great, tremendous treasure that inshallah every one of us should benefit from. So tonight we're going to talk a little bit about the author, rahimahullah, and we're going to talk a little bit about the book, and then we'll start reading yani whatever we can in the amount of time that we have. Usually in the beginning of the class, we review the questions from the study guide. So since this is our first class, we don't have any questions to review. But next week, inshallah, we'll review the questions. And for those of you who might be new with us, then the reason why we have those questions written out is so that you can go back and see, test yourself, yani, how many of those questions you can answer from sitting in the class. And yani, if you have a copy of the class, yani, a recording on your telephone or one of these recorders or whatever. Otherwise, we post it on the website, islamlecture.com. And hopefully tomorrow or the following day, and you can listen to it and try to answer the questions for the following week, بإذن الله تعالى. طيب. The book that, well, this is the original translation, the first one that I know of. The book that we're going to look at, it's called, in English they called it, The Concise Legacy, by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. And Dar es Salaam also has a printing of this same translation, but they added their own footnotes to it, so it's a little bit, it's a bigger book, more pages than this very small book. But this is the original translation, and it is, yani, overall good. And there's a few places where we may have to look at it a little bit more carefully, but for the most part, it's a good translation, and for the most part, accurate, inshallah. So, yani, the PDF file that we have is for this translation, but the one published, but the edition of Dar es Salaam, which has a lot of footnotes, a whole lot of footnotes, and this is really just the basic translation with little footnotes, very small. So, we want to start, yani, by, well, let me just say first, I mean, most of us, we know, if you receive the email, you know, or somebody told you that the book that we are studying in English is called The Concise Legacy, or in Arabic it is what? Al-Wasiyah Al-Sughra. Al-Wasiyah Al-Sughra. By Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. And we're going to talk a little bit about this title and so on tonight, بإذن الله تعالى. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, the author of this book, his laqab, title that he was known by, is Taqiyuddin. Taqiyuddin. And his kunya that he was known by is Abu al-Abbas. Abu al-Abbas. And his name is Ahmed ibn Abdul Halim ibn Abdul Salam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. Yani Taqiyuddin Abu al-Abbas Ahmed ibn Abdul Halim ibn Abdul Salam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. The date of his birth and death, and it is said that he was born on the 10th or the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal in the year 661. And on the 10th or 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal. And he died on the 20th of Dhul-Qa'dah in the year 728. And he was born in the year 661 and he died in the year 728. His place of birth is the city of Harran, which is an ancient city, old city, in what was known then as Bilad al-Sham. Yani, which includes Syria and the surrounding countries like Lebanon and places like that. His early life, he was raised and nurtured by his father, Al-Allama Al-Mufti Shihabuddin Abdul Halim, rahimahullah. Naam, Al-Allama Al-Mufti. He was a great scholar in his own light. A family of scholars. He was a scholar of hadith and fiqh and the sheikh of Dar al-Hadith al-Sukriya. And he also delivered lectures at the Grand Masjid Al-Jami' al-Umawi. And he lectures in tafsir. As far as his father, yani the grandfather of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he is al-Imam al-Mujtahid, Shaykh al-Islam Abu al-Barakat, Majduddin. He himself was a great Imam, a Mujtahid, and known by the title of Shaykh al-Islam Abu al-Barakat, Majduddin. And he was the author of Muntaqa al-Akhbar, yani which was the main hadith text that was the basis of the book of Al-Imam al-Shawkani, Nail al-Awta. Yani, Imam al-Shawkani's book, Nail al-Awta, is the explanation of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah's grandfather's book of hadith. Naam. That is the very famous matin, Muntaqa al-Akhbar. Yani, a book of hadith al-Ahkam. A very important and famous book. Until today, the explanation of that book, yani Nail al-Awta, is studied for 4 years, every year, in the College of Hadith, in the Islamic University of Medina. Nail al-Awta. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah additionally took knowledge from the other scholars of his time, the total number of whom exceeds 200, including his paternal aunt, Sitt ad-Dar bint Abdus Salam ibn Taymiyyah. Yani his paternal aunt means what? His father's sister. And she was one of his teachers. Allahu Akbar. His family fled to Damascus in the year 667. How old was he then? 96 years old or so. Where he immediately began learning at this young age. Huh? And some of us, our children don't start learning until what? Allahu Akbar. Until it's too late. He completed the Qur'an and learned fiqh and usul from his father. He also studied the famous books of Arabic. The famous book of Arabic language, Sibawayh. Then tafsir of the Qur'an, inheritance and so on, all the sciences of Islam. It is mentioned by some of the writers concerning the yani, life of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, interesting story about his memorization of the Qur'an as a young boy, at the age of 7. His father told the Qur'an teacher, every month, at the end of the month, if he has memorized the portion that's necessary, give him 40 dinars, or something like this, some amount of money. So when the father gave the teacher the money and said, give it to him, you give it to him, as a reward for memorizing whatever he memorized this month. When the teacher tried to give it to him, he refused to accept it. And the teacher insisted, this is a reward for memorizing the Quran. He told his teacher, by Allah, I swore to Allah that if I memorize his book, I will not take money for it. At how old? 7 years old. Allahumma musta'an. Allahumma musta'an. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. As far as his teaching, he qualified himself for teaching and given fatawa before he was 20 years old. Before he was 20 years old. He was recognized and qualified to give legal rulings. His father died when he was 21. Shortly after which he took on his father's teaching responsibilities at Dar al-Hadith al-Sukriya in the beginning of the year 683 after the Hijrah. As well as his father's place in the Grand Mosque, teaching tafsir of the Qur'an. Yani his father died when he was 21 years old and he became the Shaykh of Dar al-Hadith at 21 years old and teaching in the main masjid tafsir of the Qur'an. Qualified, recognized, no doubt about it. He began gathering and authoring books before the age of 20 and continued until the end of his life. And it is quoted, yani from, yani it's narrated that Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, himself said that he never wrote a book, except that it was upon request, yani based on a question that somebody asked. Yani the answers to the questions became books. As is this book that we are about to begin with, it was, yani, a response to a question, or to the questions of a man whom himself was a great scholar. From his writings, and there are many, they are innumerable, from amongst the famous ones, and most of these have been translated by someone, somewhere, Al-Risala Al-Tadmuriya, Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyya, and one of the most famous books of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyya, tremendous book of great, great benefit, Al-Hamawiyya Al-Kubra, Kitab al-Iman. And here I would note that Kitab al-Iman by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah has two popular translations. One of them is a real translation of his book Kitab al-Iman, and the other one is corruption from the people of deviation, who translated parts of his book and put in it whatever they wanted to from themselves. Be careful. Be careful. Al-Ubudiyyah. Tremendous book of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. I think the brothers translated this book 30 years ago, maybe. Naam, the first translation that I saw from the brothers in Newark at Brantford Place. What was the name of the Hijra magazine, the brothers from over there? Al-Wasiyya Al-Sugra. And this is our book under discussion. And Al-Wasiyya Al-Kubra. Al-Furqan Bayna Awliya Al-Rahman Wa Awliya Al-Shaytan. And there's at least one translation of this book, yani where he talks about the difference between the Awliya Al-Rahman, yani the Awliya of Allah, and the Awliya of Al-Shaytan. The Muqaddimah Fi Usul Al-Tafsir, yani introduction to the fundamentals of Tafsir, which is also translated. Raf Al-Malam An Al-A'imma Al-A'lam, which is a tremendous book by Shaykh Al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, where he defends yani the scholars of Islam, yani in terms of where they differed on certain matters and the reasons why. Al-Amr bin Ma'ruf wa Nahy al Munkar, and I think I saw a translation of this book, and Al-Siyasa Al-Shar'iyya. And there are many other books of Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. These are some of the more famous that probably most of these have been translated from his students. And his students were many, just as his teachers were many. The most famous of them, not necessarily in this order, but from amongst the most famous of them is Ibn Qayyim Al-Jawziyyah, rahimahullah. Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr ibn Qayyim, or Ibn Qayyim Al-Jawziyyah. Yani it should be Ibn Qayyim Al-Jawziyyah. Yani his name is either Ibn Al-Qayyim or Ibn Qayyim Al-Jawziyyah. Yani in idafa. Who died in the year 751. Al-Dhahabi, that is Muhammad ibn Ahmed, Al-Dhahabi, the great scholar of hadith, who died in the year 748. Al-Mizzi, Yusuf ibn Abdurrahman, who died in the year 742. All of them died around the same time, not too long after Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah himself. Ibn Kathir, that is the great scholar of Tafsir, Ismail ibn Umar ibn Kathir, who died in the year 774. Ibn Abdul Hadi, that is Muhammad ibn Ahmed ibn Abdul Hadi, who died in the year 744. And the great scholar of Hadith, Al-Bazzar, yani who collected a great book of Hadith, the Musnad of Al-Bazzar, Umar ibn Ali, who died in the year 749. These students of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah are all outstanding, distinguished scholars in their own right. Every single one of them. Every single one of them. Yani the scholars of the highest order. All of them were students of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. The imprisonment of Ibn Taymiyyah. And I mentioned this in our discussion about him for a number of reasons. From amongst those reasons is that no matter yani what a person's status is in Islam in terms of knowledge, piety, righteousness, ibadah, da'wah, they should always know that they will be tested. Everybody who says they believe has to be tested. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah was tested by imprisonment time and time again, even if it was only for a few days or a few weeks or a few months, but he was imprisoned again and again and again, though he never committed a crime. Ibn Taymiyyah was put through many trials throughout his life, including several imprisonments. I only mention a few of them here, but it is said that he was imprisoned 21 times. His being summoned to Egypt and imprisonment there in the year 705, yani in the last 25 years of his life, he was imprisoned again and again and again. In the year 705, he was imprisoned in Egypt for 18 months. His deportation to Alexandria in the year 709, 4 years later, and imprisonment there for 8 months. His ordeal because of specific verdicts related to divorce and resultant imprisonment in the year 720, yani 10 years later, for 5 months. And he due to legal rulings that he gave that were contrary yani to what was well known to the people of that time. In fact, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah gave the legal verdict concerning 3 pronouncements of divorce. His legal ruling concerning this matter was contrary to the opinion of the 4 madhahib. Yani his opinion differed from all of them. And he was persecuted because of that and imprisoned. Though today the majority of the people of Sunnah rule by his opinion that he was imprisoned for then. And finally, he was imprisoned in the year 726, and that was the last imprisonment. And he stayed in prison until he died, yani 2 years, 2 months, and 2 weeks. May Allah have mercy upon him. Until he died in the year 728. Ibn Taymiyyah's response to these trials was always a positive one, which turned these trials and tribulations by the favor of Allah into great opportunities of increasing iman and ilm and amal. His role in prison was another manifestation of this blessing, yani such as his efforts, in educating the prisoners and nurturing them to the extent that the dissemination of knowledge and religion within the prison excelled certain institutions outside of the prison. Naam. It is said that when he entered the prison on one occasion, he found people who were just ordinary people, yani regular people who had committed crimes, who had no interest in deen at all or learning. And those people, when they came out of the prison, they came out as ulama, scholars, real scholars. And I met a brother here a few, maybe 2 months ago, who was in prison in America for 20-something years. And when he came out of prison, the people in the city that he went to made him the imam of their masjid. And I remember going to a conference just before Ramadan. He was one of the speakers there. And the speech that he gave to me was the best speech of the people who were there. Though he was the person who came out of prison, and the other people were graduates of Islamic universities. And this is a proof, even in our time today, of the capacity of a person under trial and tribulation. If they fear Allah and sincerely and seek to worship Him, how He can exalt them and raise them up by His permission. One of the greatest positive results was the books and papers he wrote and authored within prison. Yani, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah wrote many books while he was in prison, yani in response to the questions, sometimes the questions that the scholars in the main cities in the Muslim lands couldn't answer, they sent the questions to the prison, to Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, to answer their questions. the time, naam. The praise of the scholars for Ibn Taymiyyah are too many to mention, but I'll just read a few of them. Al-Hafidh al-Zahabi, rahimahullah, said, "He is far greater than the likes of me to inform on his qualities. If I were made to swear by Allah, by the corner of the Kaaba and the place of Ibrahim, Maqam al-Ibrahim, I would swear that I have not seen with my two eyes the like of him, and by Allah himself, has not seen his own like in knowledge." Al-Hafiz al-Mizzi said, "I have not seen the like of him, nor has he seen the like of himself. I have not seen one more knowledgeable of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of his Messenger, and what? And more compliant to it than him." Yani, not just knowledge. Some people have a lot of knowledge, but to comply, to act upon it, is another matter altogether. Not only was he the most knowledgeable of the people of his time, but he was the most compliant with that which he knew. And didn't the Prophet ﷺ tell us that we will be asked before, and on Yawm al-Qiyamah, before a person goes forward to their destination, they will be asked about four things, and from amongst them he said, about his knowledge, مَاذَا عَمِلَ بِمَا عَلِمَ, what did you do with that which you knew? Naam. Al-Imam Ibn Daqiq Al-Eid, rahimahullah, said, "When I met Ibn Taymiyyah, I saw a person who had all the types of knowledge in front of his eyes. He would take of it what he desired and leave of it what he desired." And it was though he was reading from a book, and he could take whatever he want and leave whatever he wanted. And it is said that Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah, it is said that he never memorized anything and then forgot it. And there's a story that his father and family were going out, yani, out of the city for a day of relaxation, and they begged him to come, and he refused to go. And when they came back, they told him, "We ate and we played and we did this, that, and the other." He said, "What I did was better. I read this book and I memorized it." Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar, all of this is not for the sake of praising a man. No, this is for the sake of understanding the stature, the magnitude of the person who wrote these answers to these questions that we want to reflect upon. To understand who wrote this, what kind of man wrote this, wrote these answers. So that this small book with just a few words is not taken lightly. Perhaps many of you have read this book. I hope many of you have read this book, because in one of our classes, at the end of it, we gave this book as a gift. And part of our condition is that these books, when we give them, they have to be read. So I hope that you have read this book, those who have received it. Or somebody, anyone who have read it, yani, I hope that you have read it. But let us reflect upon it a little bit. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, the great scholar of hadith, And he is known as Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith. Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith. And some of the scholars said that the debt of this ummah to Al-Imam Al-Bukhari for collecting that book, that collection, tremendous collection of hadith, was only repaid by Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani in explaining his book. Yani Fath al-Bari. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, may Allah have mercy upon him, mentioned in the context of refuting the one who opposed that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah should be referred to by this term. The acclaim of Taqiyuddin is more renowned than that of the sun. And titling him Shaykh al-Islam of his era remains until our time upon the virtuous tongues. And it will continue tomorrow just as it was yesterday. No one refutes this but a person who is ignorant of the prestige and the status of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, or one who turns away from equity. Let me go to the end of our discussion here, yani related to his death, and I'm skipping a little bit, just a little bit to try to end. Yani, when he was ultimately banned from having any books, papers, and pens during the latter stage of his final imprisonment, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah devoted all of his time to worship and reciting the Quran. Yani in the end of his life, in the last days of his imprisonment, yani he was banned from having a book or a piece of paper or a pen. But he was okay. He devoted his time to worship and reciting the Quran. He remained in this state for a short period of time until he passed away on the 20th of Dhul Qa'dah in the year 728. He fell sick for a few days that led to his death. This came as an enormous shock to the people, and they turned out in enormous numbers. Historians regard this as one of those rare funerals, and they compare it to the funeral of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah. Al-Bazzar says, rahimahullah, once the people had heard of his death, not a single person wanted to remain in Damascus who was able to attend the funeral prayer. As a result of the number of people that attended his funeral prayer, the marketplace in Damascus was closed and all transactions of livelihood were stopped. Yani everything ceased in the city because of the number of people attending his funeral, including governors, heads, scholars, jurists, everyone came out. And there's some more here, and we say, yani, in closing, that yani one, it is mentioned by some of the people who mentioned the time of his death, that the prison, the deputy or the head of the prison opened the prison at his death and allowed some of his close companions and the people who were close to him to enter upon him and to wash his body and to prepare it for funeral. And there were so many people in front of his janazah and behind it and to the right of it and to the left of it, none but Allah could enumerate them. Then someone shouted out, this is how the janazah of the imams of sunnah are to be. Naam. May Allah have mercy upon him and grant him al-firdaus al-a'la. And may he be a cause, yani, may he cause those after him to benefit. May Allah cause those after him to benefit from his knowledge. May Allah cause us to benefit from his knowledge. And this is a brief outline, and I hope that, and if you haven't read the life of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah previously, I hope that what we have mentioned here is sufficient to ignite interest in reading about his life. Indeed, from the biographies of the people, and the scholars of the people of Sunnah, yani his biography is one of the most interesting and motivational for anyone who yani has taken the path of seeking knowledge and who wants to yani live by that knowledge to apply it in their lives. And we want to read as much as we can from the explanation of Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Badr, Hafidhahumullah. But yani because it's quite lengthy, we won't be able to read all of it, so I'm going to read some of it. Yani, I'm going to do the best I can to read some of it, inshallah, in whatever time that we have over the next few weeks. The Shaykh, he begins by praising Allah, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, and bearing witness to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that he has no partners, and to the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after that he said, فَهَذِهِ وَصِيَّةٌ مُبَارَكَةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ جَزِيرَةُ النَّفْعِ غَزِيرَةُ الْفَائِدَةِ. Yani that this is a wasiyah, mubarakah. Yani a wasiyah Yani the word, the wasiyat has a lot of meanings. Yani the brothers, they have translated this, the concise legacy, so they translate it as wasiyat, as a legacy. And some people, yani, also translate it as an advice, which is close to the meaning of what was intended in the actual question. It also means a bequest, yani bequest, yani a gift that someone leaves, yani behind for those who remain after their death. It means a commandment, an injunction, yani as it's used in the Quran, as in the beginning of the book, which Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah mentions the ayah from the Quran, the wasiyah of Allah. Yani it is a commandment, an injunction that Allah has placed upon the people, have ordered us with something. So it has a lot of different meanings. It has a lot of different meanings. In terms of the ayat that we're going to see in the beginning of yani his answer, then the meaning of it is an injunction or a commandment. Allah has commanded us with something. In terms of yani the letter and the request of the questioner, the meaning of yani wasiya in his question is advise me, give me some advice. And it has other meanings, and Allah knows best, and we will, as we begin to discuss it, inshallah, hopefully it will become more clear. He said, this is a wasiyah, yani an advice, or a bequest, or a legacy, yani something that's left behind, that he left behind for humanity, for the generations to follow until today. That is blessed, yani wasiyah mubarakah, azimah, tremendous, great, jadiratu nafa' wa ghaziratu al-fa'idah. Yani something worthy of being taken, the benefit from it. And that which has an abundance of benefit in it. And it was written by the great yani authority, the high-minded one, the Shaykh al-Imam, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, based upon, binan ala talabi sa'ilin fadilin wa shaykhin kareemin min ulama al-maghrib. Yani that this wasiyya was written bina'an ala talabi sa'ilin, yani based upon the request of a questioner who was himself a noble person, fadil, shaykhun kareem, yani a noble shaykh, from the scholars of the people of Maghrib, yani what is known today as Morocco, or the western part, yani of Africa. A request from Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, to write for him a wasiyyah. To write for him a wasiyyah, an advice. And we will come across the text of this question from this noble scholar, yani as we go along. The text of the question itself. And also what it contains of ragba wadiha wa hirs bayyin ala al-khayr. Yani this question, the Shaykh says, it shows that the person had a clear desire and a clear eagerness to seek khair. The questions that he asks clearly indicate that this person was desirous of the khair, the good. And also from the fruits of this question, and its fruits are great, is that its answer remained behind for future generations as a book and as an essay that is read in time, yani that continues to be read and benefited from by students of knowledge from time to time. Even in the time of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, it was read to him. Yani a number of his students read this answer or this wasiyah, a number of them read it to him. And it is a wasiyah nafisa, yani precious, priceless. Indeed it is. Yani whoever reflects upon what he wrote in this brief writing, they will see that it is precious, it is priceless. He said, يَحْتَجْ إِلَيْهَا كُلُّ طَالِبْ عِلْمٍ يَحْتَجْ إِلَيْهَا كُلُّ مُسْلِمٍ لِمَا حَوَتْهُ مِنْ خَيْرٍ وَنَفْعٍ وَوَصِيَّةٍ جَامِيَةٍ. Yani it is a wasiyah that is precious, that every student of knowledge is in need of. Rather, every Muslim is in need of it due to that which it contains of khair and nafa and wasiyah jamia, yani due to the good and the benefit and the comprehensive advice that it contains. تُعْرَفُ هَذِهِ الْوَصِيَّةِ لِشَيْخِ الْإِسْلَامِ بِنْ تَيْمِيَّةِ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِالْوَصِيَّةِ الصُّغْرَى. Yani this wasiyah of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah is known by the title of al-wasiyah al-sughra. And again we said that al-wasiyah means a legacy, it means a bequest, it means a commandment, it means an advice. And here al-wasiyah al-sughra As-Sughra is the plural of, is the feminine of the ism tafdil Asghar. The feminine of Asghar. Okay, Al-Wasiyya, As-Sughra means the smaller advice. Meaning that there is another advice that was a bigger one. Al-Wasiyya, As-Sughra. It is known as Al-Wasiyya As-Sughra كما أنها تعرف كذلك بوصية الشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية لأبي القاسم السبتي. And it is also known by another title, and that is probably what it was known by early on in the beginning, that is the wasiyah of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah to Abu al-Qasim al-Sibti. And in some of the English books, I think they have it written as al-Sibti, but the Shaykh Abdul Razak says that it is Sibti with Kasra. Yani the wasiyah of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah to Abu al-Qasim al-Sibti. And this name al-Sibti is related to the land, yani the country or the city of this great scholar who is asking this question that he has directed to Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. Yani al-Sibti is an inscription related to the place of the one who asked the question. And this man who asked the question, he was from the people of Sibta, min bilad al-Maghrib, yani from the lands of Maghrib, yani the country al-Maghrib. And as-Sibt bi kasri as-Sin, yani it is pronounced with kasra, Sibt. It is a city that overlooks the Mediterranean Ocean or Mediterranean Sea. And from it you can see Spain, and you can see Gibraltar, yani Jabal Tariq. And it is from the furthest part of the Maghrib. And also the Shaykh mentions here as a note, just as a beneficial note, that from this same city is the great well-known scholar. And if we don't know Abu Qasim al-Sibti, we do know the great known scholar Al-Qadi Iyad, the great scholar of Hadith, who wrote many books, and from amongst them, a tremendous explanation of Sahih Muslim. Qadi Iyad, rahimahullah, he was also from this same city, Sibta. And he has a number of books that are printed that are well known. And then the Shaykh goes on to talk about yani something related to the books of Qadi Iyad, yani, and we will skip. What is important here is that Abu al-Qasim al-Sibti, and he said we're going to mention a little bit about his biography, a brief point about his biography, that this man, Abu al-Qasim al-Sibti, he had requested from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah to write for him a comprehensive wasiyah, a comprehensive advice related to al-ilm, knowledge, al-ibadah, worship, al-tijara, wal-irtizaq, yani trade or making a living, wasiyata jamia, yani a comprehensive wasiyah. Some of the important matters or elements of this wasiyah deal with knowledge from based on the question, deal with worship based on the question, deal with earning a livelihood based on the questions of the questioner. And the questioner, he has specified the subjects that he is requesting Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah to advise him about. And therefore, because of that, he is requesting him to advise him about these topics, therefore became known as wasiyah to Shaykh al-Islam, yani li Abi al-Qasim al-Sibti. Yani al-Sibti related to the land of the questioner. The wasiyah of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah to Abu al-Qasim al-Sibti. And here the Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he said, we know that many of the books of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah are ascribed to different lands, to different cities or places. Yani they're named after places. Yani of the people, yani who he wrote to. Most of the books of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah are based upon questions that were directed to him. Rather, it has been conveyed, transmitted from him, from himself, rahimahullah, that he said, I didn't write a book, except that it was based upon a question and based upon a request from someone who asked him. So this essay under discussion with us, it is based upon a request of a questioner, and it is known as the wasiyah al-wasiyah al-sughra li sighr
حجمها يعني due to the smallness of its size يعني الوصية الصغرى due to the smallness of its size. So it is known يعني this particular essay is known as the وصية of Abu Qasim al-Sibti يعني الوصية الصغرى to distinguish it from another wasiyah of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah that is bigger than it in size, and that one is known as al-wasiyah al-kubra, al-wasiyah al-kubra, the bigger wasiyah. Otherwise, in spite of this name, al-wasiyah al-sughra, the Shaykh is saying, in reality, each one of these wasiyah, each one of them is kubra, and each one of them is tremendous, is azim, is great, is magnificent. Each one of them contains a great, tremendous advice. But this one is called a sugra, yani in consideration of what? Its size, in comparison to the size of the other wasiyah, which was larger. And then the Shaykh talks about both of these wasiyah being in the Majmu' Fatawa of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, and where they are in the volume and page number. And after that he said, and this, yani because of the size of the book, this is the reason why one of them, or the, because of the sizes of these two books, yani, this is the reason why one of them is named As-Sughra, that is the one that's under discussion, and the other one is named Al-Kubra, yani in reference to the size of each of them. The Shaykh also mentions here that it appears, and Allah knows best to him, that both of these two wasiyah were known by the name that they are known by now, wasiyah sughra and wasiyah kubra, later on. That wasn't what they were originally known by in the early time. As far as in the earlier books of the scholars, yani, that mention the writings of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, yani, each one of these were mentioned, yani, with descriptions that refer them back to the questioner, or the one who the book was written to. So al-wasiyah al-sughra, yani it is known as wasiyah to Shaykh al-Islam, the Abi Qasim al-Sibti. That was the earlier name that it was known by, as we have mentioned. And the kubra, it was known as the wasiyah of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, li atba'i adi Ibn Musafir. Yani the earlier name that Al-Wasiyah Al-Kubra was known as is the Wasiyah of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah li Atba'i Adi Ibn Musafir. Yani the Wasiyah of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah to the followers of a man named Adi Ibn Musafir. And Adi Ibn Musafir, and this is interesting, the Shaykh mentions this, a tremendous benefit actually, and it's somewhat lengthy, but it's of great benefit. Yeah, and he's talking about the wasiyah al-kubra. He said that it was written to the followers of a man, a scholar named, yani a righteous man named Adi ibn Musafir. He was well known for al-ibadah and zuhud and mawa'id. Yani he was well known, renowned for his worship and for his zuhud, yani asceticism, and his mawa'id, yani exhortations, yani speaking to the people, and how he had a great effect, a tremendous effect on the people when he spoke to them. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says about him, كَانَ مِنْ أَفَاضِلْ عِبَادُ اللَّهِ الصَّالِحِينَ وَأَكَابِرُ الْمَشَايِخِ الْمُتْبَعِينَ. Yani he was from the most noble of the worshippers of the righteous worshippers of Allah, and from the major sheikhs, those who had following. وَلَهُ فِي الْعُمَّةِ صِيت وَلِسَانِ صِدْقْ مَذْكُورِ. And he had a good reputation. He was renowned in this ummah. And yani he was known to be a person of truthfulness that is mentioned. However, in spite of that, there was from amongst his followers a group of them, yani, who have fallen into extremism and exaggeration and attributing to him things that yani are not suitable or appropriate to be attributed to a human being. Yani exaggeration of the people. When somebody dies and they exaggerate, and they make them into something else, a saint, an angel, a god, or whatever. Yani some of his followers fell into this, and this is not uncommon amongst human beings, that when a person is very righteous or religious, when that person passed away, the people go to extremes. They make up stuff even, and they extend it and exaggerate it, and this is what happened with him. So the Shaykh is saying that yani, due to the exaggeration and going beyond the bounds and the extremes in praise and glorification of him, yani, those people went off. So some of them, yani, a group of his followers fell into ghulu concerning this imam. Yani, extremism and exaggeration. So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah wrote an advice to those people who were from the followers of Adi ibn Musafir rahimahullah, advising them, yani, about their behavior and their exaggeration and their deviation and their transgressing the bounds in reference to their Shaykh. He wrote an advice to them. And the Shaykh says, it was a very great advice. وَمِنْ بَابَ الْإِشَارَ وَالْتَنْبِيهِ أَقُولُ. He said, just, yani, مِنْ بَابَ الْإِشَارَ وَالْتَنْبِيهِ. Just to, yani, point at this thing, yani, to make a small note concerning this matter, he said, I will say, those people from amongst the du'at, the people who are giving da'wah, and the students of knowledge, who find amongst their people in their land or in their society, those who have gone to some extent in, yani, deviation, in inhiraf, al-turqi, yani, the deviation of the what? Sufi tariqas. And, yani, extremism or exaggeration concerning them or something similar to this, yani, those who find these people amongst them like this, alayhi an yastafid min wasiyati Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah li atba Adi ibn Musafir, then it is incumbent upon those du'at or those students of knowledge to benefit from this wasiyah of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah to the followers of Adi ibn Musafir. How? ينظر كيف دخل عليهم. When you read it, you have to look at how did Ibn Taymiyyah approach them. How did he approach them? Did he attack them? Did he just criticize them? Did he speak harshly to them? As we find many of the people doing today, right? They are on deviation, but how do you approach them? Yani, the Shaykh is saying, if you read this, you will see how he approached them. كيف خاطبهم. How did he address them? كيف تلطف بهم. How was he gentle and easy with them? In trying to bring them to the sunnah and to bring them away from their deviation. And a person has to look at this, حَتَّى يَسْتَفِيدْ مِنَ الطَّرِيقَةِ إِضَافَةً إِلَى الْإِسْتِفَادِ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ الْمَتِينَ الَّذِي يُقَرِّرُهُ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. Yani, so that a person will benefit from his tariqah, the way of giving the da'wah to these people who have gone to these extremes, the way, that's one thing that you benefit. How do you do it? What is your approach? And secondly, to benefit from the great knowledge that he has, yani, established in this advice to these people. And this is because tariqat al-dukhul ala al-nas wa la siyama man indahu inhiraf tahtaj ila al-da'i ila Allah tabarak wa ta'ala wal wa'id wal mudhakkir ila shay'in min al-hikmah. And this is because the way of the person who is calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or those who are preaching to the people, are reminding the people, the way of approaching them requires some amount of hikmah. It's not just we're on the truth and what we're saying is right and therefore we just beat the people down with it. Rather, the one who's calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to have some hikmah. And I'm saying that this is important what the Shaykh is saying here. Why? Even though he's talking about another book, that's not our book, because we have fallen into this problem today of the people, we are calling people to the sunnah, but our approach is often having a lot to be desired, putting it mildly. It requires some amount of hikmah. وَإِلَى شَيْءٍ مِنْ فَتْحَ الْقُلُوبِ بِأُسْلُوبِ مُنَاسِبٍ وَكَلِمَةٍ طَيِّبٍ وَتَدَرُّجْ مَعَهُ بِالْخِطَابِ حَتَّى يَصِلَ مَعَهُ إِلَى مَا يَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ فِيهِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى تَعْذِيرُ بِذَلِكَ وَفَاعِدَةٍ. Yani, that our approach requires wisdom. And it requires something of opening of the hearts of the people with an appropriate usloob, the manner. Yani, you don't reach the hearts of the people except that your manner of approaching them has to be suitable, has to be appropriate. وَكَلِمَاتْ طَيِّبَةً. And, yani, kind, nice words. وَتَدَرُّجْ. Gradualism in your speech with them, not just abruptly, but little by little, step by step. Step by step. This is da'wah of the people of knowledge. Until you reach with them, by the permission of Allah,
what you are intending in terms of affecting them and benefiting them. You want to affect people and change them, benefit people. It just can't be however you feel. Rather, it has to be with hikmah. It has to be with kalimat tayyibah. It has to be with tadarruj. Gradually approach the people, not all at one time. So whoever read this wasiyah of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah to the followers of Adi ibn Musafir, and وَكَانَ عَنْدَهُمْ أَنْوَى مِنَ الْإِنْحَرَافِ, and these people had some types of yani deviation, and the person who reads this, وَكَيْفَ خَاتَبَهُمْ, and how Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, how he spoke to them, how he addressed them, خِطَابًا لَطِيفًا رَفِيقًا مُتَدَرِّجًا حَقِيمًا نَافِعًا. يعني سبحان الله حتى وصل معهم إلى المقصود في معالجة ما لديهم من انحراف وبيان ما لديهم من خلل وأخطاء. يعني look at how he addressed them with a speech that was latif, kind, rafiq, gentle, mutadarrij, gradual, hakeeman, wise, nafian, beneficial. This is the kind of speech, not the speech that sometimes yani is heard, and then we wonder why we don't have any effect. So that what? This kind of speech, so that what? So that you will reach with them yani the maqsood, the objective, the goal, what you intended in terms of treating the deviation that is with them and clarifying for them their lapses and their errors and mistakes. That's the point. That you want to treat the problem and you want to clarify for them their mistakes, not just beat them with it. And this is important, yani brothers and sisters, yani it's important. It's critically important. And yani this, the Shaykh, he has yani gotten off into another book here, but I thought it was beneficial, yani, and perhaps hopefully if we reflect upon it, we will benefit from it if we try to apply it in our lives, in our da'wah. The Shaykh says, our talk tonight is about this wasiyah that is known by al-Sughra, al-Wasiyah al-Sughra, the wasiyah of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah to Abu al-Qasim al-Sibti. Wa Abu al-Qasim hadha lahu tarjama fi mu'jam al-Muhaddithin. Here the Shaykh mentions that this, the question of Abu al-Qasim, he has a biography that's in some of the books, yani of any of the scholars of Islam, like Al-Imam al-Dhahabi and Ibn Hajj al-Asqalani and other scholars. He mentions some of those books, yani that his biography is found in. And here the Shaykh says, what I am mentioning concerning him is gathered and collected from various places, just trying to make clear something, some aspect of his life. وَكَانَ مِمَّا عُرِفَ بِهِ أَنَّهُ رَجُلْ رُحْلَ صَاحِبَ الرِّحْلَ تَنَقَّلَ بَيْنَ الْبُلْدَانِ. Yani what was well known about this man is that he was a traveling man who used to go from land to land. He went from country to country, from city to city, for what? Seeking knowledge. The man who asked the question, he was known. This is what he was known for. And he had collected and gathered what he had benefited, rahimahullah ta'ala, from his travels and his meetings with the scholars, and what he had heard from them and what he had taken from them. He collected that in a book that is printed under the title Barnamij At-Tajibi. And he collected that which he had benefited from these journeys and travels and meetings with scholars. And he also mentioned within that book, yani, his meeting with Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah and his requesting from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah to advise him. And he has mentioned something, yani brief, from what he benefited from this wasiyah, yani in that book he mentioned something of what he benefited from the wasiyah of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. And yani this will be pointed out soon. Here the Shaykh mentions the questioner. The questioner is Abu al-Qasim. Wahua, and I want to read this because yani sometimes some of these manuscripts of books, they have some ikhtilaf in them. Sometimes something is written one way or another, something is added, something is left out, something, yani words sometimes are written, you know, are taken differently, because in those days people didn't write all the vowels and things like this. So yani we have in our book here the name of the questioner different than what the Shaykh has confirmed as his actual name.
And in the English book we have, his name was Abu al-Asim. Abu Asim. But actually he was Abu al-Qasim. That was his kunya, Abu al-Qasim, and his first name was al-Qasim also. Yani he was Abu al-Qasim al-Qasim. Yani like somebody's name is Abu Muhammad and their name is Muhammad. Yani they have their son named Muhammad and their name is Muhammad. So his name is Abu Muhammad Muhammad, his name was Abu al-Qasim al-Qasim. Huwa al-Abu al-Qasim al-Qasim ibn Yusuf. And the Shaykh says, طابق اسمه كنيته. Yani that his name and his kunya was the same. Abu al-Qasim was his kunya and his name was al-Qasim. And he was Abu al-Qasim, al-Qasim ibn Muhammad ibn Ali, al-Tajibi, al-Bisti, al-Maghribi, al-Najjar. I mean al-Sibti. I said al-Bisti. Al-Sibti, al-Maghribi, al-Najjar. And as he mentioned, he said that his biography is written in some of the books of the scholars. And from amongst what has been written concerning the questioner, al-Imam al-Zahabi, rahimahullah, said, not concerning Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, concerning the one who asked the question of him. He said that this man, Abu al-Qasim, this is how al-Imam al-Zahabi described him. Al-Imam, al-Muhaddith, al-Rahal, alim al-Din. This is the kind of descriptions the questioner is described with, that he is al-Imam, yani scholar of hadith, a traveler, a distinguished, knowledgeable person in this deen. He was born around the year 670, yani not long after Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah himself. And it is said that he died around 735, yani a few years after Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. And he was born a few years after him and died a few years after him. And he has a book that he mentioned earlier, Parnamaj, by this title, and it contains many of the things that he has narrated and that which he have heard from the scholars during his journeys. And it is mentioned in it that he benefited from this wasiyah, yani our book under discussion, al-wasiyah sugra, yani that he benefited from it, yani from the request that he made from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah to advise him. And he said, yani the questioner says in his book, when he mentions how he benefited from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, in that question, in the questions that he sent, that he wrote to him, he said, وَكَانَ مِنْ جُمْلَةِ الْوَصِيَّةِ الَّتِي أَوْصَانِي بِهَا, yani from amongst the things that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah advised me with. And then he mentions Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah as التقي الفاضل الفاضل أبو العباس ابن تيمية. He said, from amongst the things that he has advised me with, he said, ما في الكتب المصنفة المتبوعة كتاب أنفى من صحيح محمد بن إسماعيل. And this will come to in the discussion of the book itself. And he mentions here that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said that there is not amongst the books that have been collected, yani narrations of hadith that have been collected according to chapter headings, printed. There is no book that has been printed, that has been collected from the books of hadith that's more beneficial than the Sahih of Muhammad ibn Ismail. Yani the Sahih of Bukhari. There is no book that has been collected. This is what Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah said. And if we know how much he read and how much he knew, and his level of knowledge, if he's saying that, that has weight. Yani you and I saying that doesn't have a lot of weight, right? Because we didn't read all the books. We just read two or three books, so we can't say this is the best book that has ever been written. We only read two or three books. But he read all the books. And he said there's no book that's more beneficial than Sahih al-Bukhari. Now, why do I stop here? I stop here because we have Sahih al-Bukhari. In Arabic, in English, explanation. How much time do we devote to a book that is the most beneficial book after the Quran that has been collected? How much time do we devote to it? How many of us have read the whole of Sahih al-Bukhari? You don't need to raise your hands, but I'm saying just a question for us to think about. How many of us have read the whole of Sahih al-Bukhari? I didn't say memorize it. I said how many of us have read the whole of Sahih al-Bukhari? But yet we have time to read newspapers, magazines, watch television. Yani how? How? If you didn't read Sahih al-Bukhari, wallahi, you have been deprived. But it's not enough just to read it. Rather, we have to study it. We have to read the explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari. But before we get to the explanation, we got to first read Bukhari, right? At first, at least read the hadith, even if you didn't read the explanation. At least be aware that there are some hadith here I don't want to get sidetracked with this, but I'm just going to mention. I was in the masjid the other day, and a man narrated a hadith from Aisha, and it was no hadith. So after he finished talking from Jamaat al-Tabligh, every time I meet these people, we have a problem. When he was finished and he went on the side, I talked to him by himself in Arabic language, because I saw he couldn't speak English well. He was trying to speak English, but he couldn't speak English. So I asked him in Arabic, "Is that a hadith that you narrated?" He said, "Naam." "This in Arabic?" He said, "Naam." I said, "It's a hadith, you read this?" "Naam." I said, "I never heard this hadith before, can you bring it to me?" "I'll bring it to you, I got it. The scholars of Azhar, all of them, they know it. What are you saying? I said, "I'm not saying anything. They're saying, I just like to see it. I don't know. I never heard this hadith before." "What hadith is it?" Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Qur'anan yamshi ala al-ard. Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Qur'anan yamshi ala al-ard. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a Qur'an walking on the earth. Wallahi, that's not a hadith. I hear people say it in English many times, that the Prophet ﷺ was walking Quran. That's not a hadith. Anyway, we went back and forth, and the end of it, you know, he said, "Well, I got something to say about you too. When you were leading the prayer, you did such and such and so on." So I said, "That's from the Sunnah." He said, "Yeah, there's a hadith." I said, "Yes. When I come back, inshallah, bring my hadith, bring yours." When I came back, I brought my hadith. He didn't want it, because he didn't like it when it was a real hadith and it was sahih. But his hadith, he couldn't bring it. And then he got mad. He got mad because he had no hadith. I told him it would be more appropriate, al-awla, yani the ta'abir of Aisha radiallahu anha, sahabiya, alima, zawjatu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, when she was asked about the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kana kulu kul Qur'an. Why didn't you say that? This guy is a graduate of Azhar University. His father is a professor from Azhar University. His grandfather... But he doesn't know the hadith in Bukhari from Aisha, kana khuluqul Qur'an. But he knows, kana Qur'anan yamshi ala al-ard. The Prophet was the Qur'an walking on earth, walking Qur'an. The Qur'an is the kalamullah, ghayr makhluq. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is basharun, makhluq. How can a human being that's created walking on earth be a Qur'an, and the Qur'an is the speech of Allah? Qur'an is the speech of Allah, is created now, walking on earth? This stuff is dangerous that these people are propagating, and people are listening to it, and some of us even tolerate it as though it's all right. No, it's not all right. These people are dangerous. They are misleading people all the time. One of them in that same masjid said, "Allah is heart." I said, "Allah is a heart? Where hadith you read that in?" We got into another dispute over that one. Allahu musta'an. Anyway, we're coming to the end of our time. Brothers, pardon me a little bit. Allahu musta'an. Anyway, the point is that we have to take seriously learning. We should read the Sahih of al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim in the books of Sunnah and the books of the scholars of Islam. This book, Sahih al-Bukhari, is tremendous. It's tremendous. Read a little bit every day. Maybe before we die, we might complete it. Or read a lot if you are able to. But read that book. This guy, this man, he was a scholar. Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah told him there's no book that's more beneficial, meaning of the books that have been collected, books of hadith, than the Sahih of Muhammad ibn Ismail, that is, Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. And he took it to heart. And he mentioned that this was a benefit that I gained from Ibn Taymiyyah. And this is, yani this statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah in his answer to this questioner, and it will come inshallah as we read the book. The questioner said, yani in his book, writing about how he benefited from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he said, قال أبو قاسم, he said, صدق ابن تيمية والله يفهمنا ما فيه ويرشدنا للعمل بمقتضاه بمنه وقرمه. Yani he said, indeed, Ibn Taymiyyah has spoken the truth. He said, may Allah, yani make us to understand what is in that book, and may He guide us to acting upon what it requires of us by His favor and His bounty. May Allah what? Make us to understand what's in that book, and then may He enable us to what? Act upon it. And this is really the key, that we understand what we read and what we learn, that we understand it, and then that we act upon it. It's not just enough to read a book or to even memorize a book, but rather we have to understand what is intended from what we have read. You read a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, an ayah from the Quran, you have to understand what was intended by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not what you think in your own mind. A lot of times we read the Quran, even in Arabic, forget about in English, and we understand it by our own mind, and then we run with that. It's incumbent for us to understand what we are learning, and then ask Allah's help to act upon it. We must act upon it. Allahu musta'an. This is, yani, the Sheikh Abdul Razak says, this statement from Abu Qasim concerning how he benefited from Ibn Taymiyyah in his answers to him, he said, this indicates the reality that this man, أحسن الاستفادة من كلام شيخ الإسلام, that he did well in benefiting, he really benefited from the speech of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. And we will see in the wasiyah of, yani, wasiyah al-Sughra, we will see how Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah has concentrated upon these two aspects, al janibain, these two matters, he has concentrated upon them, janib al-fahm wa janib al-amal. Yani, one side, the importance of understanding, the other side, the importance of acting upon the knowledge. Yu'akkid alayhima. He keeps continually, yani, confirming, reaffirming these two matters. So the man, the question, Abu Qasim continued to mention, yani, the confirmation and affirmation of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah upon what? Aqli al-ma'ani wa fahm al-dalalat. Yani, comprehending the meanings of what we are learning, understanding the indications of what the words really indicate, what they point to. وَعَلَى الْعَمَلِ وَالْإِتِّبَاعِ وَفِعْلِ مَا يَتَعَلَّمُهُ وَالْمُتَعَلَّمُ وَالْمُتَلَقِّي. Yani, the importance of what? Understanding, comprehending the meanings of the words and the indications, understanding what they indicate. And secondly, عَلَى الْعَمَلِ, action, yani deeds. وَالْإِتِّبَاعِ, following, strictly adhering to the sunnah. Yani, acting upon what the student or the one who's receiving the knowledge, acting upon what they are learning. And this is something that we try to emphasize over and over and over again until some people might get tired of it. Why do you keep saying the same thing all the time? We say it all the time that it's important to learn, but don't stop there, but to act upon what we learn. That's critical. Acting upon what we learn. If we don't act upon it, then what is it? Al-Quran, Hujjatun Laka aw Alayka. The Quran will be a proof for you or against you. It will be against you if you don't act upon it. You learn it, you memorize it, but you don't act upon it, it will be a proof against you on Yawm al-Qiyamah. For this reason, his understanding of this matter, Abu Qasim, rahimahullah, for this reason he said, Sadaqa ibn Taymiyyah. And he has told the truth. May Allah make us to understand what it contains. Yani, those hadith that are contained in Sahih al-Bukhari, and guide us to acting upon what they require of us. And this is because Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he continued to emphasize and re-emphasize this matter, this issue of al-fahm, understanding, and the issue of al-amal, action. And we will pass, we will come across, this in a number of places in this great, blessed wasi of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. This will be the last point, inshallah, we'll stop here, even though, we still have a little bit to go to come to where I wanted to reach, but we won't reach today. Yani, the questions on the study guide that we didn't cover, don't worry about them. Yani, the last two questions, or maybe the last three questions. Maybe if we don't get them, we'll take them next week, inshallah. And the last point I want to make here, and we'll close with this. The Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafizahullah, he says, this wasi of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he wrote it while his age had not yet reached 36. He didn't reach, and he wasn't yet 36 years old. And in spite of that, this questioner, meaning Abu al-Qasim, when he presents the question to Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he says in his description of the one he's asking, yani the questioner is saying, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah at that time had not yet reached 36, and yet the questioner, when he, in his question, he describes him, he says, بَقِيَةُ السَّلَفِ وَقُدْوَةُ الْخَلَفِ وَأَعْلَمْ مَنْ لَقِيتُ بِبِلَادِ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. Yani, the questioner, who is a man who traveled through the land seeking knowledge from the scholars all over the earth, he addressed Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah as Baqiyat al-Salaf, yani a remnant from the Salaf. Yani the Salaf, they have passed away, the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, they're all gone. Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah is a remnant from the Salaf, yani somebody who's still living today, who's on that same mode of the Salaf. وَقُدْوَةُ الْخَلَفِ, and he is an example, a model for the later generations. And he is the most knowledgeable person that I have met in the lands of the East and the West. The man who is saying this is a man who is a traveler, who has traveled all over the earth. A man who is known for traveling and meeting the scholars in different lands, who has traveled here and there. And he is saying, when he is presenting this question to Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, أَعْلَمُ مَنْ لَقِيتُ, the most knowledgeable person that I have met in the lands of the Mashriq and the Maghrib, in East and West. And when he said this word, and he concerning Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah had not yet reached the age of 36. How many of us are past 36? It's okay. Just imagine when you were 36. Maybe you were just 36. Or maybe it was 30 years ago when you were 36. Like some of us, right? It was a long time ago when we were 36, right? At least 30 years ago. But just imagine when you were 36. Where were you at? If you were a Muslim then, maybe you're from a Muslim family, you were a Muslim then, where were you at? Or maybe you're not yet 36, but just imagine if you're not yet 36, where are you going to be when you're 36? Are you going to be like this? That somebody's going to meet you and say, the most knowledgeable person I met in the lands of East and West. So this book was written from an early time in his life, at a time when his imamah, his position as an imam of the Muslims, and his virtue, and his nobility, and his knowledge, and his reputation had spread throughout the distant lands, and his status and position was known. And for that reason, whenever a book came from him, it was met with as something of great value in not only his land but in all the lands. And then the Shaykh indicates, and he talks about the manuscripts and the sama'a, and how the people, when they used to read a book to a Shaykh or learn from a Shaykh, then they would write their names at the end of the book or in the beginning of it, showing that they attended, yani that they were present when that book was being taught. Yani, and from that, those names that were written at the end of this Al-Wasiyya Sughra of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, yani in some of the handwritten copies, some of his students who read the book to him and learned it from him, they signed their names and the date in which they read it to him. And according to that date, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah had not yet reached the age of 36. And that's if he had just finished writing it. Maybe he wrote it months before that, or even years before that, we don't know. But we know he didn't even reach 36. Maybe he was younger than that. And the Shaykh talks a little bit about the manuscripts and Sama' and stuff like that. It's kind of a little bit technical. I just wanted to close on this point. So the Shaykh says, we understand, the benefit that we get from this is that we understand that the date in which he wrote this book was at least by 697, yani the year 697, he had not yet reached the age of 36, and Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, yani was known, it was known that he was born in 661, so we know that he was 36 or younger. And he wrote this book at this age, yani when he was less than 36, and at this age, he also wrote a number of other books by this age, from amongst them, Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah. And also by this time he had written Al-Hamawiyyah. And a number of other books that he had written, yani by this time. By this time he had written many books, and many more after that. And this, the Shaykh says, this is just an introduction, before reading the Wasiyyah Sughra. As far as the, yani the content of the book, as we have mentioned, it is a great wasiyya, comprehensive. It is not something small. It is not insignificant. It is wasiyya kubra, jamia, a great comprehensive, yani advice that contains or collects within it khayran, azeeman, wa fadlan, kabiran, wa nafa'an, wa fa'idatan. Yani this book contains khayran azeeman, great, magnificent, tremendous good. Yani it contains a lot of virtue and benefits and so on. And yani this يعني the Shaykh closes with this brief discussion concerning the book, just one couple of lines. He said, وهذه الوصية في مضامينها جانب التقوى. يعني within the content of this book, يعني it deals with a lot with the subject of التقوى. And this is really the core of the book, التقوى. And this is one of the reasons why I felt that this is a good book for us to study. And since I read this book some years ago, I read it many times, and it has affected me to the extent that I believe that the core of the issue of the success of the Muslims any place in the earth is Iman and Taqwa. This is the core of the issue. Whatever problems we have is something defective in our Iman and our Taqwa. That is the core of the issue. Yeah, the people have lack of knowledge and other kinds of problems, naam, no doubt. But Iman, Taqwa, that is the core of the issue. Since I read this book, I believe that, and I'm certain of it, I have no doubt about it. And that's why I believe that we have to concentrate always on Iman and Taqwa. And that's one of the reasons why, yani, we chose this book at this time. I thought it was appropriate. Its subject, its core is the Taqwa. And it also deals with Al-Ibadah and Amal. Yani, worship. And that is very important. And from amongst the worship that the Shaykh mentions in this book is Al-Dhikr and Dua. And that's why we talk a lot all the time about Dhikr and Dua. And that's why our concentration, our work is in teaching the people the adhkar of the Prophet ﷺ and the adi'ah of the Prophet ﷺ and their meanings, and encouraging ourselves first to practice them. This is very important. From the greatest of the acts of worship, as we will see in this book, after the obligatory duties, is al-dhikr. And so the Shaykh, he says that this book contains also an aspect dealing with worship and actions, and also it deals with the side of as-suluk and akhlaq and adab. Yani, manners and character and behavior. This is also very, very important, that we learn the correct aqidah and that we worship Allah correctly according to the sunnah. But our character and our manners, where is that at? And this book contains so many benefits. If a person grasps them, understands them, and then acts upon them, wallahi, their life has to change. This little book here can change your life. And also deals with seeking knowledge. And that's also, of course, that's one of the things that are stressed amongst the people of Sunnah, seeking knowledge. And what you should begin with in seeking knowledge. And it also deals with the aspect of seeking your provisions, your livelihood. And this is also critical. How does a person live? How do they make a living? So it includes a number of aspects in this book, and it is concise and brief. And even though it is concise and brief, it nonetheless contains a great good and a tremendous benefit, and we will see that as we proceed to the questions of Abu Qasim. And yani, we will stop here. Yani, whoever has the book, then please yani, begin reading the book for the next class. Whoever doesn't have the book, if we have your email address, we'll send you the PDF file for the English or the Arabic, whichever one you want. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. يعني the questions on the study guide from 1 through 6 you should answer them, and the questions 7, 8 and 9 inshallah we'll take for next week بإذن الله تعالى.